Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Jerry Thomas. Welcome to International Black Summer Talk Show. And the it's going to be a very special show tonight. I'm going to be the host, and then going to be the rest of the team going to be hosting the show. And we're still going to deal with Women's Month. And the title of our show tonight is Empowering Women in Our Community. And before we get the show get off, my brother Glenn is going to read a declaration. My brother Glenn, please.
Thank you, Jerry. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. And today's date is March 27th, 2011, New York City. Above, below, within, north, south, east, west. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Back to you, Jerry.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much about the declaration. Every time I hear the declaration, you always trying to see that what could you do to improve your life, improve your vision. Now, International Black Summer, what we all about is a conversation that is being given by life to the world through people of Black African descent. The conversation finds its expression in the Declaration of the International Black Summit. So if you want to know more about us, go to our website, www.blacksummit.org. And now, before I'm going to go over the principles, Jill, she's going to have some announcements, please. My sister, Jill.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning. Good morning. Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is having a wonderful evening. We do have a couple of announcements. Today, I hope the women of African descent join in on this conversation. It's still actually going on. It was the first International Black Summit share with community of women of Black African descent, and it's powerful. We've had callers coming in from Africa. We had callers from all over, and it was just a powerful space for powerful women of African descent to share their vision. Just to let you know that on April 30th in New York City, there's going to be an International Black Summit prerequisite course, and it's going to be at 44 East 32nd Street. That's the 11th floor. And the contact number for more information about that prerequisite course in New York is 212-561-0325. There will be a summit share in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's going to be in April. And the time, the date and place will be announced, and it will be on our BlackSummit.org website. Also, May 21st, there's going to be another New York prerequisite. And is that the same contact number, Glenn, the 212-561-0325 for the May 21st?
Yes.
Okay. And then, of course, as everyone knows, we have our annual event, which will be August 4th to the 7th in Chicago. And for more detailed information and to register for the event, please go to www.blacksummit.org. Thank you. Back to you, Jerry.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And if you want to know more about what Jill make the announcements, stay tuned. Because after the show, we have the oxygen. And we'll be giving out that number within a few minutes, and that's going to be from 9 o'clock to 9:30. So stay tuned for that. Now, ever since January, the talk show team, we decided that we're going to have a Kwanzaa principle that applies to the show. And it's a goody-goody tonight because we picked out two principles that we feel that is going to fit to the show, that is going to really flourish and blossom. And the first one is Kujo Shakalia. In parentheses means self-determination. And it means to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. And the next one is Nia, in parentheses means purpose, and it means to make our collective vocation the development of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. And it reminds me so much of our women and our African queens around the world, always creating, always developing our community, always with mothers, aunts, and it also can come to my mind about the declaration of nurturing relationships. You know, I feel that they nurture us and nurture the earth, and I'm very appreciative of the International Pleasure and the women of the space that they hold for us. So we could blossom. And again tonight, the title of the show: Empowering Women in Our Community. The ones who's listening right now, if you know you're empowering our community, this is the time. We want to praise you, and we want to salute you. And it doesn't mean we have to salute you this month. We want to salute you all year round. So let's go. It's all about your sisters. It's all about our African queens. Let's go. How you feel, Jill?
Jerry, give them the call-in number. There's a couple of folks in the chat room that may want to call in.
Okay, very good. No problem. The call-in number is 646-716. 9827. I will say it again. 646-716-9827. Okay. If there's get back into jail. What you started off and tell us what you have been through, what's your contribution to our community?
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Well, there's a lot of things that I've been doing within the community for a couple of years, but one thing that has pretty much consumed me, and it just kind of happened, it happened about 3 years ago. I worked for an agency and communities and schools, and I always ask the staff there that were in the schools to identify a student, a young woman, that they may feel would need a mentor. Mm-hmm. So I had one of the social workers said, Jill, I have a student for you. She's kind of like the black sheep of the school. She kind of, you know, stands out a little bit as far as she doesn't have the latest clothes and kind of gets picked on, what have you. So I said, okay, let me meet her. So I met her, and we would go out to eat across the street from the school. She wouldn't really talk to me. Finally, by the fifth time that we met, she started opening up a little and told me a little bit about herself. Well, she was living from place to place, and her father was in rehab, and her mom committed suicide. And she wanted to go, her goal was to go to college. She wanted to go to college. And she went to a small school, about 75 kids. So when she told me she wanted to go to college, I said, okay, well, come up to my office when you're not in a class, because she had just a few courses that semester. Come up to my office and we'll see what we can do about applications. So she was the only, I went to Virginia State, and she got into Virginia State. She was the only student in the school that went to a college out of state. Well, it was a little too much, I believe it was a little too much for her, because it was so different, leaving Georgia and going to Virginia, being in a new environment. So she ended up coming back. But when she came back, she didn't really have a place to go to. She was living out of her car at one point, homeless. And so I said, well, why don't you stay with me? Well, she has been with me now for 3 years. She's my daughter. She is a daughter to me. And she left for about a year. She had to go, you know, figure out life. Life kind of kicked her in the butt. She thought she knew what she wanted to do. I think she was chasing a young man in North Carolina, really. But she came back, and my whole thing with young kids is, especially if they have a vision, if they have a dream, a desire to go to college, ever since I've met her, it's kind of like that's what I've been working with. So just working with different mentoring programs and just watching Aisha grow into a beautiful young woman. And I just feel like children, all they need is support and guidance, and it's needed from our community, because after meeting Aisha, there are so many young women out there that ask Aisha if, you know, can they come and live with me as well. And it's sad and scary, but I just kind of was thrown into it, and here I am.
No, go ahead.
No, and so now I work at a private school, and those kids, of course, you would think, you know, they have it made, but a lot of the students that are of African descent, because there are some students that are actually from Africa, this is their first time in a pretty much all white environment, which is fine, but they still feel they're still teasing and there's still things going on with them. So we establish a mentoring group, all of the black administrators and teachers in that school. We talk to the headmaster, and we are the first private school, from what I understand, to have a mentoring program that's going to actually track and everything, to have a mentoring program for children of African descent in the middle school. And we're the first, I believe, in Georgia to do this. So.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Yeah, and who would have ever known?
Yeah. You know, it's a very interesting point that you bring up, because one of the things that when I look back, I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, and the fraternity actually got created out of a study group, people just coming together to work together to get through Cornell University up in Ithaca, New York, which certainly was a hostile environment, but yet there was something about coming together. So I just want to acknowledge the work that you're doing and the conversation that you are in producing unpredictable results, because that's the conversation that the summit is about. It's about going into places and producing results that are unprecedented and unpredictable. So I really want to acknowledge you for taking in this young lady, inspiring her, mentoring her, sheltering her, and also to and given her insight and a possibility on life that she certainly wouldn't have had you not stepped up and made that happen for her. So thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you. And can I just say one thing that I'm coming to a head with is she's 22. She's at a 2-year college now. She left a 4-year college, kind of starting all over. And I kind of need to have the conversations with her that my dad had with me in regards to getting prepared for the real world and eventually being on your own. And it's weird. I'm kind of not having those conversations with her just yet because I don't want her to feel, this is just, it could be just me making this up, but I don't want her to feel like I'm kicking her out, like that I'm trying to push her out. And, you know, I just want her to always feel comfortable being here with me, but I do need to have those real conversations with her in regards to just growing up. So that's what I'm dealing with right now with her.
Well, you know, we've got a distinction called No Right Way to Be, and you know, we were talking about that quite a bit with single parents the other night, and you know, there is no menu book on how to deal with folks and what to say and how to be, but the thing is that the work that we're have here available at the International Black Summit is really about being responsible and accountable for one's life, you know, being able to take that on. And one of the premises for that is really having a vision. And so, you know, I'm clear that you have a vision. I would suggest that you do some work with her to make sure that she's got a vision for herself. And respond to that vision as you're supporting her in whatever is next for herself.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, and one thing about the declaration that what I was hearing you and Glenn, and I want you to hear this, Jill, and no matter, and before I said this, and I want to let people to know, no matter is your vision, if it's long, if it's big or short, you making a contribution in your community, sisters. And I want y'all to really remember that. Understand that. Hold it. But the one thing, Joe, that reminds me, I'm going to read the part of the declaration. It says, we assert that we are responsible for generating communities as possibilities and distinctions. And that reminds me that defines you, my sister. And I want to acknowledge you. You keep up the fine work, and you keep on giving our community the beautifulness that which you are globally. And I really appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And by you saying that, Jerry, also what comes to mind for me is the part about unpredictable results. Because who would have ever known that after meeting someone that didn't talk to me for 3 months would be living with me 3 years later.
See how it goes. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
There's anybody is calling?
Yes, if we've got some callers, if you'd like to participate in this conversation, please press 1, and we can see your hand go up, and then we'll bring you live in the air. Also, we've got a couple folks in the chat room, Ms. Ruby and guest 8712. You're welcome to join into the conversation. You can call in. The number is 646-716-9827. We have a couple lines that are open, so you can join us at this point in time. We also have one of our hosts on the line, Ms. Henrietta Byrd. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Henrietta Byrd is also one of the movers and shakers of the community. She's out of Chicago, Illinois, and is also a reverend and very active in her church, organization, and is in the infrastructure moving that forward. So I don't want to steal your thunder, but I just want to introduce you, my dear. And is there anything that you'd like to let us know, since we are, the conversation is empowering women in our community, and you're certainly one of the women that is doing that. So anything you'd like to add?
I just thank you all for the acknowledgement. I really appreciate it. I've had a really nice opportunity today to spend with two other very empowering women. One is Ellie Stewart in Chicago. You all will meet her in August, if not sooner. And my daughter, actually, Henri, is with me right now. And all day long, they've been working on some healing work that they are doing in the community, and, you know, working with people and having them be physically whole and complete. And so it's just been a wonderful experience to be with them today and listen to the work that they're doing in the community, you know, with people. So that's about it for me.
No, well, thank you for sharing that. And one of the things that I'm always present to is how much the women in our community contribute to the wellness and the well-being of our community. Not that men aren't also healers, but women are so natural in healing that it comes second nature. I guess the whole motherhood expression is always so evident. And so I just want to thank you for all the work that we know that you've done, and all the work that we don't know about, that we'll never really hear about, for you and all the women in earshot of this conversation and who may be listening to this conversation at a later point in time. We really look to honor our women and to acknowledge the holding down of the family groups. You know, we had that conversation about single parents and how critical women are in that conversation. Again, not to downplay the men, but in our community, women are the ones that are holding down the families. So we really, one of the things that I talk about is that we really are intent. This month has been really about acknowledging the power of women in our community and how important they are, and also how nurturing they are. Back to you.
And also, I want to acknowledge our sister Henrietta, and, you know, or the constant love that you show to me as a brother, and your continued support, and give me advice to really strive to be the best that I could be, and I want to acknowledge you to keep on to be strong in our community, to keep on being strong, to serve the spirituality in our community that we sought to need. So I want to acknowledge you that, my sister.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. I really appreciate that. One thing I do want to mention, yesterday we had a summit share in Chicago, and oh my God, was it powerful. I mean, we almost moved into prerequisite mode. You know, we had, people had breakthroughs. Oh, just wonderful, wonderful breakthroughs. And just great, really, really great experiences on yesterday. And visions were created, visions were teamed up. You know, our team started yesterday. We just had a wonderful, wonderful experience at a summit share. Instead of scheduling another summer share, we scheduled a prerequisite for April. So we are really, really looking forward to the annual event this year. You know, this summit work that we do is so important, just so important. And I interviewed a minister Thursday on my show, and what she kept saying was how this teaching changed her life. And that's kind of the way, that's the space that I'm in about how this has changed my life, about having this, even being with the talk show team, being with the talk show host, and, being held accountable for integrity, like being in integrity and speaking from my heart space, and all of the things that the guys do to, to make this show happen every week. I'm so proud and so appreciative to be on a team with Jerry and Glenn and Jill, Clara and Chakasha. Just a magnificent group of people that I get to work with, on Sunday evening and early on Monday morning. So I just, I just thank you for the acknowledgement and thank you for the experience that we have with each other every week. And looking forward to you all coming to Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is so great. And before we get to more calls, I got a special commentary in a few minutes that I want to get, that I want to acknowledge the women. So stay tuned for that, our sisters, because I got something good that I've been working on for like 2-3 days, and then it's coming from the heart, and I want it. It's a special one, so watch out. Okay. If there's any more callers that's coming through, my brother or my sister?
We have 347-841. Go ahead, please.
Okay.
And we have another one in the queue, 757. We're going to get right to you shortly.
Good evening. This is Ray. I'm sure that you're familiar with who I am. But I'm doing fine. Glenn, Jerry, Henrietta, Jill. I just feel privileged to be a participant on the show tonight. It's been kind of like a harrowing experience trying to get in because the conference call show is so prevalent that it's difficult for me to get in there. So I'm kind of like counting my blessings right now. Anyway, while I'm at it, what I wanted to express is that, for me, how I have built the community is where I am at the moment, at that moment. Because even though I might live in a certain area, most of the time if I'm working or if I'm networking, that is my space. That's my community at that time. So I have had to actually adjust my thinking, my mannerisms, the way I carry myself in order to be an encouragement to whomever and wherever I am, especially when I'm networking or when I'm working. I mean, if let's say, now you ladies know what I'm talking about, if a brother says, oh, you look nice today, or that's a beautiful outfit, or how are you doing? I mean, how am I upbuilding a community that he lives in if I just turn my back and just put my rear end on my shoulders and stick up my nose? Respect the brother and say, well, thank you, and you have a nice day, but thank you for the compliment. Little things like that, just little, as we might call them, insignificant things like that, could go a long way to building a community. Now, being that I'm an entrepreneur, I still work a 9-to-5 or 8-to-4 or 6-to-5, whatever you want to call it. But the thing is that you can't be an entrepreneur if you don't have that upbuilding and that upbuilding thrive and that that ambition, that wherever, who, even if you just look at someone, that they're not going to be discouraged or go away with their head hanging down or be offensive or on the defensive. So I've had to, because I'm a very ambitious and aggressive individual, I've had to learn to tone my emotions and the way I carry myself down, because even even though I feel comfortable, I have to deal with a lot of people and a lot of different personalities and a lot of situations that somebody might have just come from a bad situation or a tense situation, or they might be going through just trials and tribulations, which all of us go through. And so now how am I going to adapt to that? How am I able to build that next brother or sister who I don't even know once I step out this door? And that way, when I'm making an impact, a positive impact, just by good morning, I could just say good morning. They might not want to say good morning. But good morning, that could be the whole difference between how their day goes, how their agenda goes. And that way, I know in my heart and in my soul and mind that I'm building up the community. And that's how I do that.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome, because one of the things that I want to speak to is altering the conversation of who we are. So you're certainly doing that just by a hello, a smile, a good morning. And we forget that, well, let me speak for myself. So I forget from time to time that the little things make such a difference. So you're absolutely right. We've got another caller, 757-969. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening, everybody. My name is Althea. And before I get into the conversation, I don't want to take it off track too much, but I just have a question about the summit chair as opposed to the prerequisite. I've participated in the summit chair from its inception, and I've gone to a lot of summit chairs, and I haven't participated in, I'd say, about 10 years. But the summit chairs were always powerful. And I just want to understand the difference between, because Henrietta said something about the summit chair was so powerful, and I know they can be. And instead of having a summit chair, they were going to have a prerequisite. And my understanding was that the prerequisite was for people who have not been in the conversation, and just to have them distinguish who they are in the conversation. So I just want to know if somebody could answer that for me just quickly so I can understand.
Yeah, that's great, because I actually had that thought to bring up, and I didn't do that. So thank you for filling the gap for us. So the difference between summit share and a prerequisite is that the summit share is actually an event to come to as an introduction to what the work that the summit is up to.
Right.
So it's a place for you to come and discuss the declaration, the aspects of the declaration, the pieces of the summit, what's available, and you begin to talk about the differences of what the summit is versus anything else. The prerequisite, as you know, is a standalone conversation that is the ground of being for the actual summit conversation itself. So it's basically to give you the working parts and some of the tools to develop, and so that you're not, so you're not left out when you're in the conversation for the annual event or any of the other events that take place after throughout the year. So that would be the difference.
Okay.
So thank you for asking that question.
Oh, okay.
And I actually want to acknowledge you for the empowering work that you're doing in our community with our young people.
Thank you.
You know, it's you know, being a teacher, and the other part is being a teacher as a second career.
Yeah.
I just want to acknowledge the work that you've done in corporate, and that you bring all that wealth of work to these young people so that you can begin to mentor them and to point out the importance of education, the importance of caring about themselves and how they look and presenting themselves, because that is what's going to have them be successful out in the world. So I know that and I know that it's not an easy job given all of the bombardments of information, of characteristics, and all of the other outside influences that are also that's working against the conversation that you're looking to have with them to motivate them and to provide the importance of education. So thank you.
And
you're welcome.
And the only thing that I really wanted to say was that my vision is to impact the community, the parents of the children that I teach in Title I schools. Title I schools are schools that are in areas where 95% of the children get free or reduced lunch. So they get special, there's monies that is available for those students that in another school where the free and reduced lunch rate is maybe like 40%. It's not considered a Title I school. And so there's monies available for Title I schools that's not available for other schools. And the thing that I'm looking at is, what can I do to empower the parents and to bring the parents on board with the administration and the teachers? Because some of the parents fight the school system and the teachers and they just don't agree. They send their children to school with the attitude that if anybody picks on you, you have the right to stand up and argue with them, no matter who it is, teacher, administrator. So there's a lot of our children that are fighting us, and it's through the parents. So one of the things that I'm doing is going back to school to get my degree in administration, because I'd like to. That's the area as assistant principal. I don't want to be a principal, but as assistant principal, I have more power to interact with the parents, and that's my next step. Because I think it's so important for our parents to understand that we're on their side, and right now there's a lot of parents that don't feel that way.
Yeah, and you mentioned something to me in a conversation that that the take on people of teachers with black parents are that black parents don't step up and do some of the things to nurture and support the young people and the teachers in supporting the education.
Right. They don't. They'll come to school if their child is in a talent show at school or something like that. They'll come. The auditorium is full, but if it comes to talking to the teacher, having a conference with the teacher, it's pulling teeth to get them to come to school to even talk about things that are going on with their children. They're just not willing to deal with. They're not willing to deal with it. They expect the teachers to fix whatever is going on. It's like it's our job, and it is our job, but it's also their job because they have those children. I mean, you know, they're their children, and they have them years before we even get them. So, you know, it's a team effort, and the parents don't see it that way, but they'll be there for that talent show, you know, and that's my baby up there, but they won't come, you know, for anything else. So I'm looking at how I can impact that.
Excellent. As we look in the declaration, we talk about maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media and empowering our youth. So those are all of the things that you're mm-hmm. really up to in your classroom. So I just want to thank you and acknowledge you for that.
Thank you.
Especially. You're welcome.
Thank you.
We also have, I believe it's Clara Lyons Devon, one of our host members. Clara, if you're there, you're live on air, 856-424.
Thank you, Glenn. How you doing? Hello,
excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to share. I'm coming off another call. We've had our first online or conference, International Black Summit Women's Summit conference, and that was a really, really powerful meeting. It's one, I think, the beginning of many that we'll be doing, that we're speaking specifically to the issues and things that are going on with black women in our community. And I also shared on that call about the talk show and invited the women to come and join us for the talk show, and that it occurs every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about the upcoming summit in Chicago. I'm excited about the women that we're honoring tonight. I don't know if you've already spoken about Koumba, who made her transition this week, who was powerful woman. We call her the grandmother of the summit. And one of the things that I wanted to share about her inside of this space is my first encounter with her was in Canada, and she really represented to me the creation of unpredictable results. She also represented to me the first consciousness of pay as you choose. She showed up in Canada and really was speaking from a space of creating her participation in the summit that year, and creating her registration, creating what she wanted to pay for her registration in terms of what she was able to do. And a really, really powerful sister who's had an impact on many lives. And I just want to bring her as a wonderful woman of the summit into this conversation, into this space.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for that. Because you're right, Koumba has been one of those cornerstones. You know, for me, I've been participating since day one, and Koumba has been a fixture for me. And so to not have her be present is almost like, you know, a huge missing for me, because she's always been there, and almost, you know, for me, she was immortal. You know, she was just, you know, she was always gracious and there. And yes, she had gotten older, but she was still kicking it. And if she didn't like something, she'd tell you right straight up. You know, she didn't have no qualms about it. Just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sister. And we'll miss her in her physicalness, but we know that she'll be present with us spiritually. So thank you for that, Clara.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Clara is been instrumental, for those of you who don't know, in this radio show being brought up to the next level, and was a stand for us going to premium, which we are now, so that we can actually have up to 50 callers on the line. So I want to acknowledge the timeless work that Clara has done, both as a facilitator and as the former lead person for the radio show, and just the space of womanhood. You know, all our hosts are great. You know, Clara, Jill, Henrietta, I'll speak for Jerry, but Jerry and I are some of the most blessed men on the planet to be able to be in the graciousness of some powerful women who are clear about who they are as a woman and can contribute to us as men. So I just want to acknowledge and thank you all for the work and the graciousness and the ease and the grace that you bring to the conversation.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jerry, back to you.
And then the one thing about it, we're going to dedicate this show tonight to our Summit Grandmother Kuumba.
All right,
that
very good.
That in the space we have to. And I also want to acknowledge to my big sister, Clara. I want to thank you for everything that you had given me to the Summit. I want to thank you to open your house so I could participate my very first. It's so rewarding to do this work, and our sister just stepping up every time in the space and just giving us knowledge, the love and knowledge every time. And I want to thank you, Clara, for your constant support to be in the conversation and your constant support that you had given me and the rest of the brothers in the Summit. And I love you dearly, so I want to acknowledge you for that.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yes, I really do.
We have somebody that's coming in on a 00 number. It might be a Skype, or they might have a restricted ID. If you'd like to share, you're on the air. Go ahead. Okay. Oh, sorry, you're muted. Sorry. Excuse me. All right, let's try that again.
Hello. Greetings from Japan.
Please continue to hold for the next available representative.
It's so great to hear everyone and to be part of the radio show this morning. I'm very excited to be here, excited about the topic, excited about what people have been sharing, and I have a list of women I would like to acknowledge. So I'm going to make it fast. So one of the women I want to acknowledge is my daughter, Ebony Azizi Silla. I'm here staying with her. We're actually in Okinawa, which is 2 hours from Japan. And she's a second lieutenant in the Navy in JAG. And I've had the honor and privilege of visiting Japan out of her, graciousness. So she's just a dynamic young lady. As a mother, I've watched her go from, from zero to present. And it's, she's just phenomenal. Phenomenal. I appreciate her knowledge of our culture. I appreciate the work she does in the community, and I appreciate the woman that she is. And then right on to that, I would like to acknowledge my mother, who passed away in July of 2010, and her name is Lou Jean Foreman. And I just want to acknowledge her, and in acknowledging her, acknowledge black women who grew up, in the 30s and in the 40s, and the strength and the vision. I just recently really became aware of how my mother was visionary. I, always just had her as mother, but she was the one who moved us from Chicago to California. She's the one who instilled in me to always reach higher and higher. And I want to acknowledge the women of the Summit. It's so many, I can't name them all, but Susan Shelton, Catherine Copper, Robin Randolph, the list goes on and on, and just all of the work that they've done. And our future women that are coming up, we don't know their names, but I acknowledge them. acknowledge the walk they must walk now, and the big footprints they must step in. So that's my short list.
Well, Takesha, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and thank you for all the work that you've done and the tigress that you are for integrity and the stand for people delivering the quality of this work, because that's clearly who you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, and can I say something? Can I acknowledge Takesha, please? Well,
go ahead.
Well, she's on, and Clara also. But Takesha, don't forget while you're over there to do your healing work.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's why you're over there, too. So, but Takesha, thank you so much, because you have just given so much to us as far as being a roving reporter. And, you know, we've talked to you across the country, this country and that country. And it's just, you know, it's just good to be in the space of somebody who's as tenacious as you are, who has just really taken on the summit internationally. I mean, literally internationally. So thank you. Thank you for that. And I thank you for this commitment that you have to your daughter, you know. That means a lot to me as a mother, as well as a parent, and of course to our fearless leader, who she will always be to me, Clara Lyons Devine. It's such an honor to just kind of try to step into her shoes this year, and it's so nice to have her to call when I've, you know, tried to stick my foot into something that was too small. But thank you so much. And I just, for all of your help and your assistance, while you're on a pretend hiatus, that I wanted to share with you, I'm at a spa day for the In the Spirit, which is a transitional home for women who are getting back into, you know, back into life after whatever it is that they've been through. And I just talked to the person who owns the center, and the ladies will be joining us at the summit. She just let me know that, so I'm really excited about that as well. So thank you.
Very good. We've got two listeners. We're restricted, so I'm going to try the first one. Go ahead, you're now on the air. You raised your hand. And I'm going to acknowledge the other.
So
both of you are on the air. No, there's somebody else that had 111111. So you're coming in either restricted or on Skype.
That's Wamboi Ngugi from Nairobi, Kenya.
Hey,
hi. Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that's cool.
So we've got about 6 minutes left, but I want to say Wambui is the young person that has grown up in this summit, in this work, that has championed it, and is the our Kenyan connection, our American connection. She is just fierce in her vision for herself, for her community, and for women. So I just want to let you all know who's on the call. Thank you, honey. Anything you'd like to say?
Thank you. I know the call, Lumba, and she is the reason I got into the International Black Summit. She shared about the summit in 1994 with my family. And they first attended the summit then and pointed to Nairobi in 1996 when I got participating, and never since. And she has been a grandmother to me since 1994. So it's been an honor and a privilege to know her. And I will greatly miss her, but I know that she's with us, and I'm happy to have really shared wonderful moments with her. And just to honor her as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother and a grandmother and a great friend.
Absolutely.
To also Kenya. Yeah, so my greetings from Kenya and my family and everybody who knew her.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And there's another person with the 111. You're on the air if you'd like to say something. Now is the time because we're about 4 minutes left. Okay. That's fine. All right. Well, listen, we have...
Glenn?
Yes. Go ahead, Shakesha.
Yeah. Yes, just something really quick. There was a caller who asked about the difference between the summit share and the prerequisite. And I just wanted to add a couple of things to that.
Okay, go ahead.
One, if the prerequisite is part of the first step of participating in the summit in terms of to come to a summit, participating in a prerequisite is the first step. So, I wanted to put that in. And also the prerequisite allows people who have if it's their first summit, if they've been away for several years, if they come every year, it gives the opportunity that when we stand in the room together on the first day of the summit, everybody's standing in the same space. So whether it's your first summit, your second summit, or your 20th summit, everybody is prepared to speak their vision. You know, they don't have to worry about, am I new, or I wasn't here last year. So the prerequisite provides that. And check us on the blacksummit.org, and you'll see all of the prerequisites that are scheduled. And please add your town to be scheduled to have a prerequisite.
Oh.
Excellent. Very good. You know, one of the things that's available this summer is the gathering of people of Black African descent from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views who come together to empower and celebrate the vision of the Declaration. So, as you can see, we've got all of that in this conversation right now. So that's pretty powerful. Back to you, Jerry. We've got about 2 minutes to close it out.
Okay. I'm going to say a quick commentary, and I'm going to end the show. What I'm thinking about really tonight, again, we dedicate the show to our summit grandmother, Goomba, and I want to thank our women from the past and to the future to show us love, to head up movements that could impact the women's liberation and plus our community. I want to keep on thanking y'all to still be in the conversation. And us brothers, we got to have to do a better job to take care of our women. We got to do a better job to communicate to our women because there is love up there. There is love always there. And by me being the head host and host of the rest of the team, it gave me a great appreciation of our history, of our rich history of our women. It's continue making that impact in our community and impact around the world, and also developing newer pages in our community, newer pages in our history. And I want to thank y'all. I want to praise y'all. And we're going to do all we can in the summit to be what it is, to be there, to support. And just be what y'all are. Because we love you, and we salute you. And again, what I say at the beginning of the show, let's not salute our women just for women's month. Let's salute our women all year around.
Excellent. Well, we also want to let you know that any information about the summit is available at www.blacksummit.org. We also have the oxygen room that will be available. The number is 218-862-6000. 618-662-6420-797-4834, pound. Let me give that to you one more time, 218-862-6420-797-4834, and we'll be there to answer any questions you have around the summit and the share or the prerequisite and or the annual event. So come join us in the oxygen room as we shift the conversation a little bit. And thank you for being with us. We love you, honor, and appreciate who you are and the work that you're doing in our community and our partnership. Peace and blessings.
Yes. To our sister Kumba, peace. To her transition.
Oxygen room is 218-862-6420-797-4834, pound. See you there. Peace. Clara, here's the oxygen number. Yeah, but come on now. Seven, seven, seven.